Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Gimel. We started in the last class, Shah Gimel. And he went into the concept of Mokum, that Hashem is called the Mokum. He's called the place, the Mokum. And it's one of the main ideas is because he is the place of the world, and the world is not his place. Now, it's not that Hashem is in the world, but so to speak, the world is in Hashem. He is the place of the world. We live in this world. We occupy this world. But where is the world to be found? What is the world? Where does the world reside? What's the place of the world? So the place of the world is Hashem. Hashem is the place of the world. The world is in Hashem, so to speak. First example we gave was just that simply, if you've got, let's say you have a chair or you have a table. A chair and a table can't exist in the air. They can't just be floating in the air. They have to be in it somewhere. They have to be in a place. They've got to occupy some sort of place. So they're normally in the room, on the floor. Table stands on the floor. It can't stand in the air. It can't float in the air. So therefore the room is called the place of the table. Now the room allows the table to be. That's what we spoke out last time. The room gives a place for the table to be. Because of the room, that's how the table can be. The table has to be somewhere. It can't be nowhere. So the room provides the somewhere for the table to be. Because in the same place, Hashem is the place of the world. He provides the place for the world to be. Otherwise, there would be no place for the world to be. Now let's start Perikot Beis a second time as follows. Omnam Pnimius Inyan. So the simple meaning is that the world is a place. Hashem is the place of the world. However, the deeper idea of the concept of Makom Shel Olam, that he is the place of the world, who inyan Godol Moed, a very, very great idea. Kimashi kinu yizbor shmoy Makom Shel Olam, that they call the Kodesh Baruch Hu the place of the world. Ein rech klal leinyan Makom Hanusik Kol Chefetz Ha'omed Alav. So really there's no comparison at all to the idea of a place where the object stands. Something much, much more. Like we said, that the table stands in the room. So the room is the place of the table. Like the world stands in Hashem. Hashem is the place of the world. But it's much, much more than that. It's not just Hashem is providing a place for the world to be. It's not just that. It's much, much more. It's much bigger. Sha'atzmus hishavus v'kiyu makli yesh lametzius. What's the difference? There's a huge difference. What's the difference between the world is in Hashem and the table is in the room? What's the difference between the two? The difference is as follows. She'atzmus, this is the essence of his habus kiyum akli, of the existence of the item, of the utensil, in this case the table, existence of the table, yesh la metzius bifnei atzmo, it has a separate reality. As the table is in the room. But the room doesn't produce the table. The table is separate from the room. There's the room and there's the table. Some people have a room, but they don't have a table. They hire an unfurnished apartment, and then they can't afford to buy any furniture because the rent was so high and they can't pay for the furniture. So they're sleeping on the floor. So the table, then they suddenly someone gives them a table. So then the table exists separately from the room. There's the room and the table. They're two separate entities. The table exists without the room. The table doesn't depend on the room. The place is just providing a place for the table to be. Where can this table be? It can be in the room, otherwise it doesn't have a where to be. It doesn't have a place. So the place provides a place for the room, for the table. But the table exists separately from the room. And similarly, the existence and the life force of the body through the soul. The soul gives life to the body. The soul gives life to the body. Haguf yesh lo mitzius bifnei atzmo. Nevertheless, the body has its own reality. The soul gives life to the body. Like a battery. You put the battery into the toy robot, and then it starts tick-a-tick-a-tick, starts jumping around, and the lights flash, and it walks up and down the stairs, and everything like that, right? You take the battery out, so it does nothing there. But nevertheless, it exists without the battery. Maybe it doesn't work, but it exists. So you have the battery, you have the toy robot, and you have the battery. You have the soul, giving life to the body, and you have the body existing as a separate reality. And therefore its reality is not nullified when the soul leaves. When the soul leaves the body, which is what happens when the person dies, the soul leaves the body. The soul leaves, it goes up to the upper worlds. Maybe for the first couple of days and couple of months even, up to the first year, the soul is still visits the body, and it's semi-attached to the body, and comes in and it goes out, and it's sort of hard for the soul to leave the body. The soul feels a part of the body. So it's very difficult. That's the concept of a year. So it's difficult for the soul to leave the body, but ultimately the soul and the body are two separate things, and the soul can leave the body, and then that's it. And the analogy we use for the soul and the body is like a person in his car. See a man driving his car, but then he parks and he walks out. He walks away from his car, and his car stays there. And he lives separately from his car. So the soul, which gives life to the body, is separate from the body. The table is separate from the room. Aval, but ha'olam is kulam. All of the worlds. That's our physical world, and the spiritual counterpart of our world, and all of the upper spiritual worlds. All of them. Every single one of those, ha'olam is kulam, all of the spiritual worlds, from the lowest of worlds, spiritual worlds, to the highest of spiritual worlds, which are giant worlds, unconceivable worlds. All of the worlds, called ikis havus mitziusam korega, the entire existence, every single moment, the existence of the world, every single moment, hurak mitzis bokshmo, is only from Hashem. It's only from Hashem. Ilu ayam salek ritzoni yisborach mi lahavus oisom kol rega, and if Hashem would remove his desire that they should be from them at any moment, if Hashem should stop desiring them into being, Hashem desires that they exist, if Hashem should stop desiring that the worlds would exist, hayu la'ayin ve'efes mamash, they would just be nothing. Just disappear. Wouldn't break apart, it wouldn't fall, it wouldn't die, it would just disappear. This world, this table, exists because Hashem wants it to be. If Hashem would stop wanting this table to be, it would just disappear. Poof, just in like that. Just one second there's a table, next second there's nothing. It's just nothing. Where's the table? Nothing. He wills it into being. That's true for every single one of the spiritual worlds. So not just that he's providing the place of the worlds, but he's willing them into being, and if should he stop willing them into being in for even a second, they would disappear. And the analogy I think we've used before, the analogy is as follows. If you imagine, let's say you imagine your mind something. You imagine a chocolate cookie, right? You can picture a chocolate cookie in your mind. And you've closed your eyes and you've got this image of this chocolate cookie in your mind. And you can see it. And it exists in your mind. It exists in your mind. And then suddenly someone calls you and you run out and you forget the chocolate cookie. So by the way, the minute you forget the chocolate cookie, it ceases to exist. Because you only created it in your mind, in your imagination. In your imagination, you created this chocolate cookie. And it's there in your mind. There's a picture. You can smell it maybe. Right, you can see it. But the minute you're distracted, your mind is distracted. Right? You can do the phone call, you have to answer the phone, so you forget about the chocolate cookie. So it exists, it disappears. Where's that chocolate cookie? It disappeared. The picture of it has disappeared. It's just the image of it has disappeared. So that, in a sense, would be the entire existence of the world. If Hashem would remove his mind from it, he doesn't want it. Or he'd just be distracted. He'd go and answer the phone, so to speak. So we would just disappear. That is our reality. We are just the desire of Hashem, so to speak. He creates us moment by moment by desiring our existence. He desires us to be, and therefore we are. Right? And it's only because that no created being has any force, has any power. Right? We're all created beings. He is the creator, and we are the created. He created us. And that's true for us, that's true for our world, that's true for the angels, it's true for the upper worlds. We're all created beings. Since none of the created beings have any force, Afa Elyon Shebelyon, even the highest of the highest of created beings, the most powerful of angels. Imagine the most powerful of angels. You've got angels that are huge. Right? They're the foot of the angel is bigger than this whole world. Even these most powerful of forces, spiritual forces, the highest of the higher, right? No being is able, the Hasik Mahusain, to really understand it. We can't really understand it because we can't really understand our Creator. Because He's beyond us, He's outside of us, He's outside of our realm. This is actually something we cannot understand. We can understand it, we can understand the idea of it, but it's something we really can't grasp. We can know there's such an idea. The idea is as follows, that all of the worlds and all the contents of the worlds, all that exists in them, they really are all nothing. Because they're just Hashem's imagination. Like that cookie. The cookie you were thinking about, it's just in your imagination. Doesn't exist, you can't eat it, you can't give it to your friend, you can't do anything with it. You can hold it in your imagination for a few seconds and that's it. So that's really our reality. We are all actually nothing. Now this is something we cannot grasp. We cannot grasp this. We have to know it, we know it from Chazal, we believe it's true, but we can't actually grasp it. Can't grasp it. Right? Someone wants to give you something. Someone wants to give you a truck. He says, yeah, take a truck. He throws a truck at you. You can't catch the truck. You can't catch a truck. It's just a simple analogy. You can't grasp. This is an idea you cannot grasp. But that's what the idea is. We can know what the idea is, even though we can't really understand it. We really are all nothing. It's only every single moment that we are brought into, we are desired into existence from Hashem. Hashem creates us second by second, moment by moment. And that's why, because it's something we can't conceive, and right, and we do need to somehow understand this idea. So this is why the rabbis chose, and they used the analogy, to just a way to somehow connect with the idea. We should try to connect with this idea because this is the truth. We have to try and connect with it to a degree, as much as we can. We should try and live it, because really we are only the desire of Hashem, so to speak. So therefore the sages, to sort of help us understand it, in order that somehow we can hear it a little bit. Right. So therefore they use the word Mokum, that He's the place. He is our place. Right? We exist within Him, He is our place. But it's more than just place, because He is our entire existence. He exists because of His design. She'af shekach goes rechochmos yisbarach, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that it should be so, the world should be as it is, liten metzius lo'ilom, to give reality to the world, He brought us into reality, we do exist, we are separate, we feel ourselves to be separate and independent. We feel independent. I have a glass of water. No, I won't have a glass of water. Yeah, maybe I will have a glass of water. You know, I'll have a glass of water. Ah, forget it. I won't have the glass of water. I'll have it later. So we feel the existence. We make decisions. I'm going to have a glass of water. I won't have a glass of water. Make decisions. We live our lives. We talk. We say what do we want to say. You say hello to your friend. Or you choose to, no, I'm not going to say hello to him. Last time I never said, he never said hello to me, I'm not saying hello to him. Whatever it is, we choose, we seemingly are independent, we seemingly live our own lives, right? But that reality is just something that Hashem has given us, somehow, for us to use in some way, but it's really, it's not really real. He's given us a real reality, but it's not a real reality. And therefore no intelligence, He's given to us in such a way that no intellect can actually grasp it. No one can really understand it. No one, even the biggest genius, cannot really understand this. Our existence is just drawn from Him. We are drawn into reality from Him. How our whole reality is drawn from Him every moment. Tetaba likes to tell a story of when they brought a phonograph, one of those old radio record players from, they brought it to whatever, Eastern Europe, some place, some village where they've never seen such an idea, they've never heard such an idea. I was just thinking today, we were davening my river, there was a loud music in the background. So I blocked my ears, I just a little bit, put my fingers in my ears just to have a bit, some quiet. It didn't really help, but it helped a little bit. But I was thinking, there's no loch about blocking your ears. But it could be when Chazal made the decrees. I mean, they made a loch about not davening in front of a window. You shouldn't be distracted. You shouldn't daven in front of a picture. You can be distracted. They never made a loch that you should block your ears if there's a lot of music in the background. Maybe because it wasn't so much, something so common. People playing loud music. You're in a place and there's loud music. You can't hear yourself think. So therefore, but Mestame, if what you see is a distraction to you, so then what you hear should also be a distraction. No, a locha like that, but just that's what feels right. Block your ears, I don't know, it just looks a bit strange maybe. Maybe it looks strange. Maybe it's more of a distraction to block your ears than not block your ears. Maybe that'll distract you to have your fingers in your ears. In any event, they brought this phonograph to this Eastern European village, and it was one of these things with these big horns, and you wound it up, and the guy put a plastic disc, what's it called, an LP, onto the table, and it started revolving, and he put the needle on, and it started making music, and everyone was amazed. And everyone was amazed, and thinking, wow, and they could hear this chazan singing. And the chazan was singing, and they said, wow, amazing, amazing, amazing. There's an old man there started laughing. He said, nah, you're all fools, you're all fools. They said, why? He said, nah, you're all fools. There's somebody under the floor. There's a person in the attic below. He's singing. This guy's fooling you. Doesn't exist, right? To get this voice from this horn. So he says, he started them. But in any event, our existence, so to speak, is drawn out of Hashem. So to speak, that's how existence comes from Hashem. Therefore a person can imagine and he can believe, and that's what it seems to be, that this world is a separate reality. It exists separately, it's totally independent. Chas v'sholem, that we should think that. So even though it seems to be that way, that we exist separately, we have to know, even though we can't understand it, we have to know that it's not like that. It does not exist separately. It does not exist independently. This world actually, in a sense, doesn't really exist at all. It just doesn't exist. It seems to be. It's just an illusion. It's an illusion. Huh? You put the movie on, put the reel in the projector, and you turn on the light, and there's a picture on the wall, and you see a man walking in the desert. Right? And you see this on the screen, there's a man walking in the desert. And there's walking there until someone walks in front of the projector, and then suddenly you see this big shadow. And that destroys the movie for a second. But that's it. It's just basically we're a movie, so to speak. We're a movie. Right? And therefore our sages enlightened us, and they wanted to help us to understand this beam shilam le'inyan mokum by comparing it to the concept of a place. Shekmosha kli omedes al eza mokum, just like a utensil. A table, a chair stands in some place. Hagam shakli hare yeshla emes mitzius b'fnatzma. Even though the table is independent of the room, right? In kol ze, nevertheless, im lo haya lakli mokum. If the utensil never had a place where it could be standing, shetam would love a place where it could be standing. I say kaloy haya. It would be like it wasn't. It would be like it doesn't exist. At kain avshayilam kula mugash. Even though this whole world can be sensed. You can feel it, right? You can feel this table. Put your hand on the table. You feel the table. You feel it's wood, right? You feel the wood feels different to metal. Metal feels different to rubber. Rubber feels different to plastic. And you say, this is a real world. Yeah, I can put food in your mouth and you can taste it. It's real food in your mouth. It's real food. Right? If you don't swallow properly, you'll start coughing it up. You don't. Right? So it seems to be this world is real. I can taste it, I can smell it, I can sense it, I can feel it, I can touch it, I can wrap my hands around it. So it seems to be it's really a real separate reality. It's really Hashem is the place of that reality. He's the reality of that imagery. Right? It's coming from Him. He's the projector, so to speak. He's projecting this reality to us. Right, if there wasn't a place, which is as He has desired for our world to exist in this place. He's created the place for the world to exist. The universe is created by Hashem, within Hashem. Then everything would just be like it was, and it would just disappear. Just like we said before, the cookie that you're imagining just disappears. Just disappears. This is what writes in Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is one of the very ancient Kabbalistic works. I think it's attributed to Avraham Avinu, wrote Sefer Yetzirah. That Esa Sfiris Blimo. It says about the 10 spheres, the 10 spheres, the 10 different spherot. So it says about that, it says there, Esa Sfiris Blimo. Blimo means swallow your words. Blimo means keep quiet. When it comes to the ten spheres are really 10 aspects of the way Hashem reveals Himself to us. Someone asked me a question recently, what are the 7 heavens? He read about the 7 heavens. What are the 7 heavens? He wants to know what are the 7 heavens. So I don't know what the 7 heavens are. And I looked up the 7 heavens. They've each one's got a special name. Ma'oin is one of the places. Well, the 7 heavens? It doesn't make any sense to us. 7 heavens. But the only thing I could tell him, based basically on one of the ideas that we've seen before, is that each heaven is like another curtain, another filter, which allows less light to come through. So to speak, there's a source of light, and there's some sort of a screen, and then the light goes through the screen. So on the other side of the screen, the light is less. On the inside of the screen, the light is more. So that's a higher world. On the other side of the screen, the light is less. That's a lower world. And then that light that went through that screen goes through another screen. And it becomes even less the light. And therefore, on the other side of that second curtain is even a lower world from the first two worlds. First world is brighter than the second one. The second is brighter than the third is brighter than the fourth. Right? These are all different worlds, so to speak. And they are 7 heavens. The highest heaven is where Hashem is more revealed. The lower heaven is where Hashem is less revealed. Right? That's how we understand it. In this world, Hashem is almost not revealed at all. We can't see Hashem. We can conceive of Him. We can speak about Him. We can understand Him. We can think about Him. We don't actually see Hashem. We can't see Hashem. So therefore, here Hashem is most hidden. So therefore, but the highest concept is the 10 aspects. The 10 aspects are like 10 faces of Hashem. 10 different aspects of Hashem. Shows to the world, which is then filtered down to us. So it says in the Sefer Yetzirah, when it comes to the 10 spheres, blowing pichem in Rabbe, just swallow up your mouth, close your mouth, don't speak about it. And he brings here in the notes, he quotes here Ramban. Ramban says, not everything that you can understand should you speak about. There's a verse that says, Kvod Hashem, Kvod Melech Hestadova, the glory of the king is that certain things are private. Certain things are private. Certain things the king doesn't reveal to his subjects. Certain things the father doesn't reveal to his sons, to his children. Or managing director, and certain things he doesn't reveal to his board, to his employees. So King Hashem has his secrets. So if a person is able to learn some of the secrets of Hashem, there are secrets we can grasp with our mind, but we can't speak out. We have to know to speak, we have to keep quiet. So there's certain things we can understand a little bit. We get like a little spark, we get a little bit of an inkling. Right, but we may not speak about it because there's a certain, it's not considered correct to speak about certain things. There are certain things we're not allowed to speak about, and the other things we're not even allowed to think about. There are halachas, right? And what we're doing at the moment is permitted. This is simple stuff. This is all the easy stuff that we're speaking about. But there are ideas that we are not allowed to think about. Right? There's a Mishnah. Mishnah says in Chagiga. I mean, what was before and what is after. There's certain things that what was above and what is below. Certain things we don't even think about. So that's what he brings there, right? When it comes to the 10 spheres, bloim pichem ilidaber, right? Block up your mouth from speaking, libchom ilahare, and your heart from thinking about it. Certain things we just not allowed to speak about or think about. Imrat libcho, and this is what it says over there. And imrat, if your mind wanders off. Sometimes your mind goes whoops and it goes wandering off into all sorts of different places, and it can get confusing. People get lost, they get confused, they get, you know, it doesn't make sense to them, and they get lost, they can actually get scared. People become very confused. Sometimes you have people who are confused, they can't function anymore. They've lost their sense of reality. So therefore, imrat libcho, if your mind has run away, your man's run away with you, your imagination's carried you off and you're now in some sort of crazy place, shuv lemokum, come back to the place. Come back to the place, come back to this concept of the place. Come back to the place. If you've run away, you've got a bit lost and you've wandered off, and you don't know where to come to. You're lost in the forest, whatever. Where do I go to, right? Come back to the place. Come back to Hashem. So it's a come back to the place. Come back to Hashem means come back to the idea that Hashem is the source of everything. Hashem is the source of everything, and nothing else is the source of anything. So come back to that idea. Shema Yisrael Hashem, Lokein Hashem Echod. Come back to the idea Hashem Echod, that we all come from Hashem. And that's your anchor. That's your reality. That's something that you can hang on to and be normal. And it's we find that for instance tragedies or war situations. So you find, you know, where there's been a situation where there's been some sort of a disaster or a traffic accident. Sometimes you see there's suddenly terrible things happen to people, and the parents come in, the family comes in, and they're all very upset. The person gets killed. Chas v'shalom. So you find this often, you see this in the hospitals in Israel, you see where there has been a tragedy, and the parents are religious, and the family is religious, they're much more accepting, they don't, you know, okay, they're sad, obviously they're sad and they're mourning, but they now, we're just slotted into their minds, it makes sense to them, they understand, this is the will of Hashem, Hashem gave us life, Hashem can take away life, and it's just, that's life. You just lost someone very precious to you. Yeah, but that's life. A person has that reality. He's got the reality of that. It's all Hashem. Hashem is running the show, and it's all Hashem. And this is the desire of Hashem. So a person can function normally. Whereas you have it the same thing. You have sometimes in the same ward, you know, in the emergency wards. I was experienced such a story. There was a secular family, and they're screaming hysterically. Screaming hysterically. They also the same type of thing. Some sort of accident. Someone was killed. Screaming. And shouting and ranting like crazy people, but much, you know, losing their mind, and they have to have special counselors, and they have to, it's all sorts of psychiatric treatment, and they have to go for sessions and place, and the people lose their minds because they have to win. So that's just an analogy from our world. So that's things that happen. People get lost. They get terrified. They get into terrifying thoughts and things. It's unsurprising things happen to them, and they lose their sense of place. So therefore, here in this teaching, it says when it comes to Kabbalistic ideas. So if you feel yourself getting lost, come back to this concept of the place. Hashem is the place of the world. Hashem allows us to exist. We exist only because of Hashem, and everything's under His control. Everything's under His control. Everything is run by Him. Everything is exactly as it should be. You say, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did I lose this? Why did that happen to me? Everything is, it's 100%, it's 100% in control. 100% in control. Everything's totally under Hashem's control. Totally. So you come back to the place, it's all Hashem. It's all the desire of Hashem. And you can function normally. You can be a normal person. You don't have to go crazy. Imrat libcho shuv lemakom. If your heart runs away with you, come back to the place. Shelekach neema. That's what the verse means when it says ritzoy v'shoiv. It speaks about, there's a verse in Yecheskel, speaks about the angels who run and return, run and return. So they run close to the divine presence, and they come very close, and they're going to get burnt. They come too close. They're going to be burnt. They're going to be destroyed. Lo yireini od v'chai. Right, Hashem's told Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Let me see your glory." Hashem says, "You can't see me and continue to live in this world. You can't see me and also live in this world. If you see me, you can't continue to live in this world. You must leave this world right now if you're going to see me. And therefore, I'm not letting you see me." And the Gemara says that he showed him. He said, "All right, I'll show you. You can look at me from the back." We don't know what that means. What do you mean the back? Hashem hasn't got a back, and he hasn't got a front. He's not physical. He says, "I'll show you from the back. You can look at me from the back." They showed him something, but he didn't show him the full reality. So that's the angels also. It says about the angels, Rotzi, they run, but show you they come back. Where are they coming back? They're coming back to this idea. Just the idea, it's all Hashem. Right? Even though So even though it's not so close, maybe it's a little bit distant, it's a little bit separate, but nevertheless, this is where we have our solid foundation. This is where we have our reality. We know also the Gemara that says that there were those who went into the orchard. The orchard means the Kabbalistic teachings, and one of them became crazy, lost his mind. One of the rabbis who went into the orchard and started learning Kabbalah, he lost his mind. He just couldn't take it. But really, there is a remedy, and the remedy is come back to this concept of Hamakom. Come back to the place. The place means that Hashem is the place of the world, just like this room is the place of the chair. Hashem is the place of the world. That's cool. That it's everything's in place. Omel Hamakom Daika. So he was speaking specifically of the place. Right, and the Sefer Yetzirah said, come back to the place, specifically this place. Which is to say, if the thoughts of a person runs away, all of his intellectual thoughts, he starts thinking how everything is just an emanation of Hashem. It's all just the imagination of Hashem. It's all just emanating from Hashem's thoughts. It's all like an imagination. So if a person starts thinking about that, it's something that can drive you crazy. Right? We only exist because Hashem imagines us into being, like that cookie in your mind. I'm no more than that cookie in Hashem's mind. So if a person starts thinking how whole reality comes only from Hashem, so on this, just teach us shuv l'mokom, come back to the place. Nahasig erech hamuskal midyumen hamulgah v'lchinas hamokom. Just go back to the concept which you can grasp. And that's the concept of that a chair is in a room. A chair needs the room. You put the chair in the room. You put the table in the room. The room holds the chair. So come back to the concept. Hashem holds us. Hashem holds us. He encapsulates us. If you don't have to go crazy, that's the idea. That is the idea. And that's why the rabbis wanted us to know specifically. Hashem is called the Mokum. He is our place. He is the place. He's the place of our reality. Right, and this is something we can actually know, something we can actually grasp. And this is the way of our sages. And Hamshul B'Sholim, that they make an analogy. As they want to teach us a concept. The concept is very deep. So they create an analogy. Right? They say it's like this. What's it like? It's like this. I can't tell you the concept itself because you can't grasp it. But I'll give you an analogy. So that is the way of the sages. They give us an analogy. You think about the analogy and you understand the concept from the analogy. You have a moshel and a nimshel. You have a parable. And then you have the subject. The parable is a simple story that you can grasp. Right? From the parable, then you can understand the concept. And that's exactly the way of the sages. So that's this concept of mokom. Hashem is the place. Is a moshel for us to understand this concept. And therefore, that's how we should use it. And something that's good. It's good to have a moshel because it's an anchor. It's our grasp of reality. L'hamshil misholim v'inyan his chabrusa his bogla ilomis, that we can understand the concept of Hashem being attached to the world. How is Hashem attached to the world? How does Hashem interact with the world? How is Hashem involved in our lives? How does He run our lives? How does He orchestrate everything? Where is He? What's He doing now? How does He? So these are things we can't understand. How does Hashem interact with the world? We can't really see it. We can't really know it. Through our lives, we'll feel it more and more. We'll understand more and more through our lives. We gain life experience and we feel it more. But it's an intellectual concept. So therefore, the sages gave us this analogy. This is Hashem is the Mokom. Even though there's no comparison between the analogy and the reality. The analogy that Hashem is a room and that we're a table in the room, that's very, very simplistic. It's very basic. It's a very basic idea, and really it's Hashem is much, much, much more than that. But nevertheless, it's a start. It's a start in the right direction. Right? It's just something for us to hold on to, and this can be the reality that we can use in our lives.